Welcome in to the DNVR Rockies podcast, brother. I am your host, Patrick Lyons, and joining me today to align with the mega powers, Mr. Kevin Henry of Fansided and Call to the Pen. How you doing, brother?
Oh, so good, Mean Gene. So good.
Oh, we've got to talk a little bit more about that bench-clearing kerfuffle.
The kerfuffle it was.
The thesaurus has got so much power in it today. The fracas, the melee. Phillies, Rockies, how long can I keep it going for, brother?
You wanted this. You wanted this.
I did, actually. I encouraged it.
It's a Shady Rays ad read day, so you could tell. I got the shades. I'm feeling the
it
vibe.
Works,
you know what I've got right now, as someone pointed out on Twitter? I've got Jake Bird energy right now.
You do. Jake Bird on the mound energy versus Jake Bird in the clubhouse energy.
A little bit.
Completely different.
I got to figure out which one I've got because we are live in Studio Z.
Z.
That's what I'm going with. It's Studio Z right now down here at the DNVR bar in the corner of Colfax and York. So it looks a little bit different in the background, but that's all right because you got me. You got Kev.
Yep.
We'll talk about the bench clearing brawl. We'll talk about a little bit about the minor leagues. Got some more players of the week.
Nice.
Get used to it, folks.
Always
get
good.
Used to it. And we're going to preview the Cincinnati Reds series because that's a good one. We got three more days here at Coors Field. Maybe the Rockies can keep some of that momentum going forward that they were able to build up with their little CFC, their Coors Field Championship. Not UFC, their CFC battle yesterday.
These are three games they should, on paper, should have a chance to win, maybe sweep. We'll see what happens because there's going to be some very interesting things. I know.
But sweep.
What I am saying is Chase Anderson tomorrow could be a key to said sweep.
I like that.
If it were to happen.
I like that. Yeah, maybe Jake Bird, we need to call him the cleaner, like Kenny Omega.
Oh, I like
of AEW.
Yes.
And Justin Lawrence, of course, it needs to be the sweeper. So those two guys together would be is absolutely fantastic. The news of the day, of course, CJ Cron going on the IL. Yep. Michael Tolia, he's on his way. He is en route.
He is. And I know there are a lot of people saying, why not Montero? Why wasn't that the guy to come up? And, you know, I think that that's going to be a question. The question really, though, is how much are they going to let Tolia play over Moustakas? That I think that's something that we're going to have to watch because we know how it was when Nolan Jones came up in Seattle. There wasn't a lot of room for him. Will there be for Tolia this week?
Yeah, those have to be the two biggest questions. Yeah. We discussed it a little bit pre-show. Michael Tolia, you know, Bud Black's, I think, is the one making the call on that. I think the fans are making the call. I mean, they're happy with just about anybody. Maybe Tolia is third on that list right now because of how great Nolan Jones has been playing,
yeah,
because of how great Elhuris Montero has been playing. You want those hot hands a little bit more. So Tolia has been playing really well in the month of May, but Bud Black, what does he want? The defense.
The defense is the key right
and
now.
And Tolia's been good in the corners spots, but I think we are probably going to see a good amount of Michael Tolia, switch hitter, so that favors really well against right-handed pitching. You can go that route with him and spell Moustakas, you know, here and there. But that's question number two. You're right. How much is he actually going to play?
Right.
I would think a decent amount since Cron is now gone for 2 weeks, and this isn't a matter of, well, somebody else is coming back. There's nobody else coming back on the offensive side from the hitter, so we'll see a lot more of Tolia. We have to see a lot more of Tolia than Nolan Jones.
And it really is something that not just do they need something on the defensive side, but you know, let's be honest, Cron has not shown a whole lot in recent days on the offensive side of things, to put it lightly. So, I mean, they're looking for some pop there as well. So if they put Tolia in, yes, they need the glove, but I'm going to say that they also need something out of first base right now because it's kind of been a little bit of a black hole over there.
It might be a major upgrade, in fact, because going back and looking, we all know that CJ Cron got hit in the hand there in that game in Arizona, and at that point when he returned on July 11th, he wasn't really the same in the second half. Started his season off incredibly well, 2 home runs, 5 RBI, 7 RBI, 3 home runs in that first series in San Diego, and since then has gone really quiet. The bigger picture, when you pull out a little bit and look at it, since that July 11th game when he returned from the hand injury,
yeah,
among the 122 qualified players in baseball,
okay,
according to the Fangraphs wins above replacement, CJ Cron is dead last.
Oof.
Now, again, he plays first base, so part of the wins above replacement is who's replacing you down in AAA. You're bringing up a guy like Michael Tolia. that, you know, that's certainly a step down from an all-star like Krohn, but it's not as huge of a downgrade as you say from Ezekiel Tovar to a Connor Kizer right now in AAA for the Isotopes. So that's one of the reasons where those numbers could get skewed. But even still, in those 101 games, .216 batting average for CJ Krohn since last July, .274 on base percentage, slugging .385.
Oof. Yeah, and how many home runs has he hit in 11 May games? Would you care to take a guess about
this month?
I think
it might just be one, right?
Actually, you and I have hit the same number as CJ Krohn have had this month.
Yeah, we did.
How about that?
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Not good.
That's not good.
Well, I know a week ago or so, he had an RBI, and it was like, okay, that was his first RBI in the month of May. So.
Yeah, he's had four this month overall. And again, whenever you bring him in and that's the calling card, is the power, the production, everything else, and it's not there, then all of a sudden you start going, where's this going to go? So I think how these next 2 weeks play out with him being out of the lineup could determine where things go trade deadline-wise, you know, and roster-wise moving forward too.
If you go ahead and you take away the whole concept of wins above replacement and you just like look at it in terms of batting average of those 122 qualified players since last July 11th, fourth lowest batting average for CJ Krohn. So we're not even talking about positional or value or wins above replacement. Lowest on base percentage, and he's tied for the 21st lowest slugging percentage with Charlie Blackmon. So you're right. They could get a big boost. We'll see what happens at the trade deadline. There's even a chance because players' values can fluctuate so much, especially a guy like CJ Krohn, who's already approaching his mid-30s, and there wasn't a lot of takers last year. Again, we know why, because of the hand injury. Mm-hmm. But he could potentially go from being one of their biggest and best trade chips on paper to being like a DFA candidate, possibly,
it's possible at a certain point.
And
I don't think that's too crazy to say that.
You hope not.
No,
could be.
But there was a time back in early April, you know, think back to, and I'm going to tie back in the Phillies here real quick. Mm-hmm. Think back to a time, Reese Hoskins, they were trying to figure out what to do at first base. CJ comes out hot out of the gate. There was a lot of talk of could the Phillies want CJ Krohn. Of course, it didn't happen. But, you know, there are those windows of opportunity, and it kind of feels like it's shut again for CJ.
Tolia, in the month of May, batting .292 for the Isotopes, two homers, eight RBI, 500 slug. So he's going to give some serious pop, no errors at first base as well, and 22 starts. So absolutely fantastic. So I think that's going to be an improvement. They will definitely receive a little bit of a bump. Bench clearing incident from yesterday.
Let's
now
talk
that
about it.
We've had some separation and other people have had their takes. We've looked at video. We've read some lips on our own. Elias Diaz, we talked about it yesterday, but in rewatching that incident and the scrum they had, he is a crowd mover. He's already nicknamed the Tank because he just never goes on the IL.
Yep.
He's the bodyguard now. He will protect any and everyone.
Yeah.
And he's also the crowd mover. You've got, 50 people? He's in the middle of it, and he's like, whoa, you're getting too close to my guy, Bryce. And he's moving the entire crowd. Amazing. Yep.
So here's what he said afterwards yesterday, because we were asking him about that. And he said, I was just trying to protect my teammate and tell everybody to calm down. So again, not just the Tank, but also the Peacemaker, as well as the same time.
John Cena, the Peacemaker?
Okay.
I like where this is going.
If it had gone a little further, very possible. I could see a Diaz doing that.
That's it. Taiwan Walker apparently was trying to get into the dugout, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Harper said JT and Taiwan. So Real Muto and Walker both had his back. Now, that's a combo right there. You got your pitcher and your catcher coming out with you. But, Harper's comments were very interesting. And the tone, you know, I know you and Susie talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the tone from Jake Bird in the clubhouse versus the tone from Bryce Harper in the other clubhouse about each other was night and day, too.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because the Phillies lost that game.
They did.
And they weren't talking about it in any kind of way of like, hey, it's great. Rockies won, and Bird. But again, that kind of underlines the separation between being a veteran, first ballot Hall of Fame guy like Bryce Harper and a guy who's still, I don't even think he's been in the league for a full year yet.
No, and you know, it was a salty day for the Phillies on a lot of levels. You know, Thompson gets kicked out. There's a lot of talk, about balls and strikes, everything else.
That was his first ejection, too.
Was it really?
Yeah.
You know, And you've been in there as well. You know, he's a quiet guy. He really is. I mean, you talk to him, you don't picture him as a manager. Of course, Buddy is too, but you see Buddy get fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Thompson seems so even keel every time that we talk to him. It's amazing.
Yeah, and the one of the bigger quotes that came out. Well, first off, Phillies broadcaster Tom McCarthy, technically my cousin.
Really?
Not really. But technically.
But technically.
We're related to two people who are married. So cousin.
Technicality, but we'll take it.
Phillies broadcast did say, Freeland looked like he's attending a barbecue. I do like that. He did. Again, he's actually on the trainer's table, kind of doing his post-game stuff, runs out.
Would you have loved to be in the trainer's room to see Kyle just book it out there? He's like, no, I'm out.
In sandals, too.
Exactly.
How many feet per second are we talking about?
It's good sprint speed.
We need to see that. But the quote, the lip-reading quote, Bryce Harper, as he's kind of finally getting pushed away, says, loser effing organization, every one of you. With Mike Moustakas right in front of him, by the way.
How could you say that to the Moose? How could you? But you know, here's the thing. You and I talked about it on the way down. Mm-hmm. One of Bryce Harper's boys, one of his best buds, Chris Bryant. So
Vegas.
Does this include Chris Bryant in the every one of you? You know, that I'll be very curious to hear KB take that, or he just kind of goes, yeah, okay, that's just Bryce.
Convenient that Phillies and Rockies don't get to play. Maybe the NLCS.
Yes.
That's when they match
post-season. Up. Postseason. It's coming. Absolutely. So,
You might we'll have to send Susie out to cover some, you know, Phillies D-back series. Get her in that clubhouse. Harper, Bryce, Chris Bryant's a loser, according to you, right? Thoughts?
Your comments.
Your comments.
I would love to be in San Francisco today, where the Phillies went after this game. Now they're playing the Giants, but it would be good to see the day after from their perspective.
That's
and
true.
If it's just kind of business as usual or how they're taking it.
In the comments, Phillies, Mark saying, Phillies are salt. Yes.
Truth.
Very salty. It was spicy in the clubhouse.
Oh, it was.
And Steven saying, Harper should have said ownership. And despite the ownership, the Rockies have good people and players. I have a problem with when a player says that the fans and players are a loser. Bryce overreacted. What? Bryce Harper?
I know.
Overreacting?
Can we talk about the Saturday night incident? I don't know if you all have talked about
it. We did
this
a little
yet.
Bit, but go
okay.
for it.
Okay, so.
Steven would love to hear more about Bryce
okay.
Harper.
Okay, so Steven, here you go. So the Saturday night incident where there were the teenagers who were sitting in the good seats.
Having a good time.
Having a good time, letting Mr. Harper know what they thought about his skills and everything else. Absolutely. You know, while we were standing in the media line to get into the Phillies clubhouse on Saturday night afterwards, so it was one of the first things we were going to ask Bryce about, and he kind of blew it off. He's like, oh, it's just fun and games. But those same guys that were in the front row tried to get in the media line to get into the clubhouse. Yes.
What?
They did.
I did not know
they
that.
They did. It's the truth. So, and they were, of course, shooed away by security and everything else. But I was like, oh, this is interesting now, you know. And I'm sure it was just to have some fun and everything else. But Harper blew it off completely on Saturday night. But the quote from Thompson was great because we said, you know, do you see fans poking Bryce a lot? And, of course, he said yes. And then he said, and by the way, I wouldn't do that.
Ooh. You know,
so
don't do that, so, NL West fans.
So yeah, so Saturday night, and again, we saw Bryce doing the lip reading in the dugout afterwards toward those guys and everything else. They were giving it to each other pretty good down there. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, those kids were having a great time.
Absolutely, and what a memory right there. I'm telling you,
I love that. There was a comment I did see on Twitter. Steven saw the video, also in the chat. Conversation about the Phillies announcers, forgetting the fact that Freeland, yeah, sure, he went to a barbecue because he did his job. He whooped on the Phillies.
Did.
Very fair, that comment.
It's his birthday. He should have gone to a barbecue. To be honest.
And Mother's Day, celebrating all of those wonderful things.
All of it coming together.
Someone I did see on Twitter in one of our comments at @DNVR_Rockies on Twitter saying, you know, every time I see a clip of Bryce Harper, he's overreacting. He's having some kind of meltdown. And I thought, yeah, for someone who maybe isn't a hardcore baseball fan, whenever you see Bryce Harper, he's getting emphatic about something. And that's not a bad thing.
No, he's an emotional guy. And here's one thing that Thompson said, and I'm not sure if you all brought this up yesterday, but he praised Harper for what he did. And the quote was, you never want to see your star players get thrown out of the game, but he's protecting his teammates. That's what this group does. They protect each other. They fight for each other. I'm proud of him for it. He's an emotional guy, and he was just sticking up for his teammates.
Yeah.
Which I thought, you know, there's your manager basically saying, got no problems with that at all. And Buddy did the same thing, of course, with Jake Bird. So
that's right.
Both managers have their guys back, which is good to see. But every time we talk about the Bryce Harper blow-up, I think Thompson's always going to have his back because he knows that's who the guy is.
Sure. Well, it was so interesting seeing the Phillies coaching staff trying to hold him back, like, because he was coming in hard, and they had to, of course, try to restrain him hard. and they just had a look on their face of like, this guy's a $300 million DH outfielder slash first base
with the elbow,
which we got to be careful with.
Exactly.
And he said, "Hey, I just want to say something. I'm not going to do anything. I just want to say something." That was another one of those good lip reading moments. It was a perfect bench clearing incident because no punches were thrown,
no.
Just a little bit of shoving, not even a ton. And both sides kind of had their point of view where you can't say, no, you're wrong, that interpretation's bad, or this guy was definitively wrong. It was an emotional game. It was let's see more of this where the cooler heads prevailed. Everyone had a cool head.
Absolutely did. And so there's not going to be suspensions. There's not going to be fines. I don't see anything like that coming at all out of this, honestly. I think it was just one of those things. Okay, the emotions got the best of them. You move on. It's a brand new series. Now, had they been the first game of the series, you know, and they've been playing each other two more games here in Denver, it might have got a little chippy. It might have got a little more spicy. But the fact they were moving on to other cities, that's the last time they play each other this year until the postseason.
Until the postseason, of
course. Yes, I mean, in the regular season, I should say.
That's right.
But, yeah, just move on.
Hey. Yeah. I thought about that. I think there's a chance maybe Harper gets one game because he came out of the dugout.
He did.
He instigated the bench clearing incident. Bird instigated Harper. Mm-hmm. So you go, well, if Harper's going to get a game, maybe you give it to Bird. Because, again, they did get ejected. So maybe you give one to each, and it's really kind of no harm, no foul. They just take it. Harper's probably going to be more upset than Bird, where he's like, hey, I wasn't going to pitch today anyway.
Right.
So it's not a big deal. But
yeah, and
we're probably getting none.
As good as Bryce Harper is, it's still not the tear out of the dugout the way George Brett did in the Pine Tar game. I mean, let's be honest.
So are you saying that Pine Tar game?
Yes.
Jake Bird game?
I'm saying that definitely behind the Pine Tar game. There are probably others that fill in there as far as running out of the dugout. But George Brett's reaction, I think, was a little different than Bryce Harper's.
So you opened up Pandora's box there in a good way.
Let's do it.
When we see compilation videos and, you know, maybe for the Hall of Fame, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper still plenty of years ahead of him. All-time legend. We'll be talking about him plenty to come. Mm-hmm. You can't write the history of baseball without talking about Bryce Harper. There's going to be a clip of that moment of him busting out of
I
the dugout.
So.
And you
I
go, man, he was such a fiery player. Jake Bird, forever linked and forever included in the compilation tape of Bryce Harper's career now.
I think it's very possible. Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely, man. He's
I love that.
You know, you look back to the World Series last year, the big home run, all those things, you know. Dude is an emotional guy. He just is. So
he is. Well, absolutely. Our fans are incredibly emotional, and they're going to be incredibly emotional on Tuesday night. We've got the watch party here on the corner of Colfax and New York, the DNVR Sports Bar, for the Western Conference Finals. It's going to be amazing. Super excited for that. Diehards, you know you get 15% off your food and drink. So come out to Baby Ball if you don't have a ticket, right? Because this is the next
Baby
best
ball.
Thing.
It is. What's wrong with this? Come on. Seriously.
I mean, plenty of people saw the World Cup atmosphere, and you go, well, that's the World Cup. That happens on, like, you know, a Tuesday night in December for the Nuggets regular season games. Now we're talking Western Conference Finals. Probably going to be a lot cheaper. Not going to have to worry about traffic. Not going to have to worry about parking. You're going to do it right here at Baby Ball for the watch party. Come down anytime whenever we're open. It's great. If you're a diehard, you get access to the diehards only Discord. It's popping off in there. All you guys are maniacs, and we love you. We love the passion. It's nonstop where we have to, like, scroll through all of the comments. Keep it coming. We love that passion. Access to that only if you're a diehard. 20% off all the gear at dnvrlocker.com, as well as the takeovers and the tailgates that we have going on and watch parties. It's absolutely fantastic, so get in on that. And then the Shady Rays. Brother, look at these things.
Those are pretty sweet.
These are, again, you can see these on shadyrays.com, but you can also see me live, DNVR Sports Channel, on YouTube, where I've got the Machos. They don't call them the Machos, but they should maybe.
They should.
A little Bret Hart-ish. Bret Hart had the full, like, wrap around.
He did. Absolutely.
And he was nice. He would always give his out to kids. So, essentially, you've lost your glasses. But fear not, because if you lose your glasses when you get a pair of Shady Rays, they will send you a new pair, lost or broken replacement. Right now, we need a graphic for Susie, because she's at -2. She's at two glasses she's lost. Now, we think that she still has her second pair. She just wasn't able to find it. So when she gets it, she'll be back to -1. But technically, she's at -2 right now. But she shouldn't have to worry, because they're going to go ahead and replace that for you. If you break them, they're going to replace them. If you don't like your shades for some reason within 30 days, they will give you a full refund. You can even go to the Park Meadows Mall, buy two or more pairs of polarized shades, and you get 50% all those bad boys. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 folks. And I imagined we're talking 2 million folks have been enjoying the Breck Brew Avalanche Ale. Mm. Sure, the Avs aren't doing it, but Breck Brew is, with 100% renewable energy, entirely Colorado products made right here in Colorado. Go to breckbrew.com to find the Breck Brew locator so you can figure out where you can get Breck Brew in your neighborhood. Sure, King Supers probably is going to have it, or Safeway. But you know what? Maybe there's someplace even closer than that where you can get your Breck Brew Avalanche Ale. I got to ask you, Kev,
talk to me.
What number is more important right now here on Monday, May 15th?
Okay.
Managers don't necessarily, and fans in a way, you shouldn't look at your team's record until Memorial Day. That's really where you get a feel. You're now 2 months out for the trade deadline. You're one-third of the way through the season. So I got to know, what's more important right now, that the Rockies are 7 games under 500 or that they're 3.5 games behind the final wild card in the National League?
You know, it's funny. I think if you're looking for hope, it's that second one for sure. Because you could tell a lot of Rockies fans that, and they'd be like, no. And you'd be like, oh, no, check the numbers. So I'm going for the 3.5 easily. How about you?
I mean, that will be the one that we have to watch.
Absolutely.
Because that's what the front office cares most about.
Yep.
And, you know, as much as this is and it can be somewhat of a lost season, it doesn't mean that every pitch or every game or every at-bat is lost. I mean, again, we're still watching. We still care about it. We're still talking about Ezekiel Tovar, Michael Tolio. What's he going to be? Will he be a Gold Glove caliber first baseman, right? And there's so many young guys, so many great stories. Who's going to step up? Who's going to be the surprise? Buddy said it on Sunday. We're going to be calling up some guys that you might not be thinking about right now,
yep,
but they're going to make an impact. Talking with Aaron from Blake Street Banner about Sean Bouchard. Admittedly, he wasn't really even on my radar at all at the beginning of last year because it seemed like every season he was like the number six hitter all throughout the minor leagues, one of the lesser important players, and yet stuck around, kept doing his thing, grinded it out, and you go, wait a minute, the Rockies had something there the entire time that they just wasn't getting the attention or love, and there's going to be, there's an entire roster right now of Rockies players where that's essentially the case. So you have to watch these games incredibly close. So it's not a lost season from that perspective.
No.
It'll just be interesting if the Rockies are X amount of games out from that final wild card, does the front office say, hey, we've got to hold on to all of these veterans and
there,
not
there
get some chips for the future? Or do they say, you know what? We had a good run. Let's make some more room for the young guys. And on top of that room that we've made for the young guys, we've also brought in some more young guys that we're going to need when we feel like we're going to be competitive in 2025, 2026, 2027.
I mean, that's the hope right there, is that you're building up the capital for the future, because you know this year, likely next, it's not really going to be there. You know, you look at some of the contract situations in San Diego, how they're really stacked.
Right.
You look at what's coming this offseason, knowing the Padres and Dodgers are supposed to be two of the main competitors for Shohei Ohtani, if everything breaks out that way. So you kind of look at the near future and you go, the Rockies need to be building up some capital to compete down the line. And absolutely, if those are the young chips that they can get from some of these veterans that are on expiring contracts, or if they don't feel like are fit for the franchise moving forward, it absolutely needs to happen. But you and I both know there's been a couple of trade deadlines we've been like, oh, they should have, or surely they will, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, that's true. Look, say what you will about the Padres prospects that they've had over the last few years, how many of them are actually factors on the big league roster? Not many.
No.
But yet, the big leaguers that they've got, how are they acquired? In a trade.
Absolutely.
For those youngsters. So you've got to get that capital, those assets, if you will. And you do that at the trade deadline when you're a team that's, you know, struggling like the Rockies have been.
You know, and it goes back to Dick Monfort's comments at the start of the season where he kind of called out the Padres a little bit for the way that they were doing things. You know, and right now it's not working well in San Diego. You know, read some of those message boards, Rockies fans. If you feel bad about where you are right now, look at what's going on with the Padres, because trust me. But it's also something that there's different philosophies completely. And we know, you know, Bill Schmidt's classic draft and develop comment about how they're going to build it up. But it should be something that we talked about CJ Cron earlier. There's a lot of guys on this team that you don't know what their future is going to hold. why not take that chance on some of the younger guys that could make an impact and could see a bigger future?
Yeah. Increase your odds of making the postseason.
Absolutely.
The next few years rather than just one singular year, especially with all the veterans and all the guys that are going to be free agent after the season. Let's take a look at Minor League Monday. Let's celebrate some of the minor leaguers, some more players of the week. Connor Stain, California League Pitcher of the Week, had an impressive start on Saturday night with Fresno against Visalia, Diamondbacks affiliate. Six innings pitched there. No runs, two hits, three walks, seven strikeouts in just his second start in the year. He is a player that when we got to talk with him last year after the draft, a little bit evocative of a Brenton Doyle, where he had this confidence, not as maybe braggadocious as Doyle did at that time in 2019. He's gotten a little bit older, but Connor Stain just had almost a swagger about him, unintentional. Yep. It was just who he was, covered in tattoos a little bit, and seemed very intriguing, like, this guy could be a big steal, and a lot of other people have said the same.
Well, he's got confidence, and of course you need confidence on the mound, but you're exactly right. That's one thing I remember too. It oozed out of him. Mm-hmm. And Doyle had that, like you said, the first time we met him, you know, five tool, all the things that we remember about Brenton Doyle, and look where he is now. So if confidence can help carry you toward that, absolutely good for Connor Stain.
Yeah, for sure. Yankiel Fernandez, outfielder with Spokane and High A in the Northwest League Player of the Week. Batted over 500 last week.
I'll do it.
With a .517 on base percentage, slugging over 1,000. That's because had two doubles, a triple, three home runs, and 12 RBI during that stretch, including for the first time, and I want to say like 44 years, he hit for the cycle for Spokane. Spokane hadn't seen that since like 1979.
It's amazing.
Yeah. He's younger right now than Zach Veen was with Spokane at the beginning of last year. He was like born in January. Veen was a December kid, so he's kind of doing the Zach Veen thing right now.
And that was the thing. Whenever I saw that announcement, I was like 20 years old.
20.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, there's so many little pockets of brightness in the Rockies farm system. There absolutely is. And I think a lot of people will look over for him. But I think that he's one that you got to watch and see where is he going to go next, and can he that translate into Hartford whenever he gets that chance?
Yeah, he's going to be someone that comes up later on in the season. I think he'll get promoted to Double A again, similar to Zach Veen. It's one of the reasons why I had to have a bold prediction for the minor leagues, and I thought, you know, I think Hartford might win the Eastern League just because of everything. With the roster turnover, again, it's not going to be the same group of guys, but you've got everyone that won the California League with Fresno last year. Some of them are going to be coming up in the second half with Hartford, even though some of those Hartford players are going to be going up to Albuquerque, like Zach Veen,
sure.
Hunter Goodman, maybe even Drew Romo. So I think the Yard Goats are going to have a big year, especially if the pitching can step up, which has not been the case, unfortunately.
Some good replacements coming in if those guys get moved up to AAA, for sure.
That's right. I mean, some of the starters might even, if they can get their act together, might even get an opportunity late in the year, kind of like we saw with Gavin Hollowell, Noah Davis, and then Ryan Feltner the season before in 2021. But professional rugby, got to let you know, is back. It's returned to Rugby Town USA, Infinity Park, Glendale. It's amazing. They've begun a six-match homestand against six South American rugby teams that make up the brand-new Super Rugby Americas competition. You can find their full schedule over at AmericanRaptors.com. Tickets are $10. Children 12 and under, absolutely for free. If you can't make it, watch all the American Raptors matches live on ESPN+. You got to make sure you also learn a little bit about the game of rugby. That's where you check out the DNVR Rugby Podcast with Colton Strickler. He's going to break it down for you. That's absolutely amazing. Also, make sure you stop by the DNVR Bar right here, May 27th, the team's season finale watch party. That's going to be a lot of fun. They take on Cobras Brazil at 12 p.m. So make sure you get down, Rugby Town USA. That is a beautiful, beautiful ballpark. People come to Denver, come to Colorado. Coors Field's at the top of their list of places that they want to visit and take in a sporting event. I think Infinity Park is quickly becoming that must-go-to location for a sporting event, especially because of how affordable it is. Speaking of affordable, Illegal Pete's.
Oh.
Absolutely amazing, delicious for beers, burritos, and buddies.
Buddies.
That's it. We got to go. Look, they were catering all kinds of graduation parties. You had a graduation. You got a doctor in the family now.
Absolutely. My daughter's got her doctorate. How about that? It's pretty cool.
Dr. Henry.
Dr. Henry. Pretty sweet, I'm telling
love
you.
That.
Seriously.
That's pretty cool. I do love that. They've also got the house beer bucket for you and your whole crew down at Illegal Pete's. 16-ounce beers for $15. Five of them for $15. Can't beat that price. Only at Illegal Pete's. Again, your go-to spots for burritos, beers, and buddies. Breck Brew could also be a part of that as well. The Avalanche Ale, as we talked about. Absolutely delicious stuff. So let's talk Rockies Reds series, making his major league debut today. He's in the lineup, isn't he?
That's the breaking news. Matt McClain is batting second tonight against your Colorado Rockies. Major league debut, and he is something special from what I keep hearing. A lot of buzz about this guy coming up for the Reds.
Yeah, he was a first-round pick by the Diamondbacks in 2018. Decided, nah, I'm going to go to UCLA. I want to go and see the hallowed grounds of Jake Bird. And he decided to go there. Jake Bird, Sean Bouchard, Michael Tolia. The UCLA guys are all back together now.
You know what happens on a clear day in Los Angeles, don't you?
What's that?
You can see LA.
I've never heard that. Everybody in the chat has heard that. I know. Really Steve, Mark. Yeah, I know you guys know that.
I had to drop it.
But he was drafted in 2021 by the Reds. Second base shortstop. He's been dominant this year in AAA with the Louisville Bats.
That's right.
Not Louisville.
No, Louisville.
It's Louisville to us.
That's right.
Louisville. That's it. That will be interesting to see the matchups we got for the next 3 days. Connor Siebold for the Rockies against Hunter Green tonight.
Love that.
How many pitches over 100 miles an hour are we going to see for Hunter Green?
I cannot wait to see actually him just unleash it and see and you know what it does at altitude. What does that fastball do at altitude? I'm very curious.
Travel a little bit further?
Maybe.
You know, I mean, he's providing all the power.
Exactly.
That's something that Matt Holliday, would tell David Dahl all the time, like, ease up. Like, you don't need to provide the power. The pitchers are doing plenty of that
absolutely
on their own. So that will be very curious to see. Tuesday starter, I'm not sure that that's been announced yet. Could be a TBA situation, maybe Ben Lively.
Still.
And for the Rockies, Chase Anderson makes his Rockies debut. Yeah. It was inevitable that he was going to pitch with the Rockies. I feel like 5 years ago when he was at the D-backs, I'm like, this guy has future Rocky written all over him.
So this is the 2018 Milwaukee Brewer reunion tour is exactly
right.
What this is. Yeah, you got Suter, you got Moustakas, now you got Anderson. So all of you who booed these guys whenever they came here to Coors for the playoffs, now you're going to cheer for them because we cheer for Laundry. Absolutely.
Graham Ashcroft on Wednesday against Austin Gomber. Another opportunity to make a great start for Austin Gomber, which Bud Black said the other day, probably the best I've seen his curveball.
He was sharp the other day, absolutely. You know, the difference in Austin Gomber, and my gosh, they need Austin Gomber to be the guy right now. You know, I mean, they need Freeland, they need Gomber, they need both of those guys to really step up because the rest of the rotation right now, it's in such flux. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the offense, you know, I don't think has been able to kind of keep up. That's one thing. If you can just outscore the opponents like Blake Street Bomber style, of course, you can do that. Albuquerque's, they're having a little bit of luck doing that, you know, winning games 15-14, whatever it were. But you got to have the bats to be able to do that. As pointed out in the chat, someone has said, Yankiel Fernandez, hey, he might be kind of a Yordan Alvarez comp. I like that.
I like that a lot.
I like that a lot.
Absolutely. We'd take that, I'm sure. And let's not forget one other person coming back to Coors Field tonight.
Ooh. Freddie Benavides.
Oh, well.
Freddie Benavides starting shortstop on the inaugural Colorado Rockies. He was there.
You love this stuff.
Freddie Benavides.
He was. I'm not
that wasn't
that
the one you're going with?
Well, I mean, of course. But now I got to pivot to another one since you already got that.
Okay.
Of course, our boy Will Myers.
Oh,
Rockies legend.
Coors
Rockies
Field.
Rockies killer.
Killer.
Will Myers is
Will
back.
Will Myers.
Yes.
Man. And they've got a lot of injuries themselves, so
yeah,
he'll probably end up being in the starting lineup. Again, you just see the Coors Field splits. You go, well, this guy's hitting cleanup.
Yeah.
Where is he today? Oh, he's hitting seventh?
They batted him down. Actually,
deep
it's
lineup.
Eighth.
Deep lineup.
Well, the Reds are a deep lineup, let's be honest.
It has to be if the Coors Field killer is doing that. You know, we talked about, I mentioned the Blake Street Bombers, so of course you think of Dante Bichette. There are 11 players who have played 100 or more games with both the Rockies and Reds.
Oh.
That feels like a lot.
That does.
Dante Bichette is, of course, one of them. Willie Taveras, Drew Stubbs, these are all outfielders right off the bat. Jeffrey Hammonds, Curtis Goodwin. We've got second baseman Todd Walker, Chris Steins, Jeff Reed. Can't forget our guy last year, Jose Iglesias.
Our boy.
Our boy.
The Jose guy who Iglesias.
Loves his yellow. He loves his spicy mustard colored. It was more of a deli mustard.
You know, I don't think I've had a chance to tell you this because I was in El Paso, caught the Chihuahua game. Of course, Jose Iglesias is there.
Of course.
With AAA in San Diego. So you remember how he enjoyed the colors? Well, yeah. It was
backpack, his slides,
see?
His cell phone cover.
Cinco de Mayo, they turned into the El Paso margaritas that night. And it was a aqua blue green jersey mix.
Uh-huh.
And I saw his Jose Iglesias running around and I said, "What? Do you like those colors? I'm just real curious." You know, I would be very curious what he thought of that color combination.
That jersey did not make it into the laundry chute. That's a keeper for him.
Exactly.
That is definitely a keeper for him. We also got relievers Gabe White and Chuck McElroy.
Jeff Hoffman didn't make that list.
He
amazing.
Did not.
That's,
he did not.
That's a stunner.
Kale, do you like that one? Chuck McElroy? Huh? He's like...
It is close to my middle name. We are That's very close.
It. See?
That's it. Jeff Francis, one game with the Reds. Forgot about that moment.
Wow. That's a good one.
Lost in the shuffle of the bench clear and brawl, and I you had shared some audio with me. I listened to it. You tell the Jeff Hoffman business because that kind of got lost in the heat going between the two teams because Jake Bird, of course, sparked the bench clearing incident. But there was somebody else that was trying to spark a little something.
There was, you know, and so Saturday night, Hoffman gets in. It's a really weird spot for him to come in. Of course, former Rockies legend, Jeff Hoffman. I mean, you know, let's not forget that. He gets in the eighth inning, and he does very well.
Yeah.
But when he's walking off, you and I both noticed he was staring at the Rockies dugout. I mean, it wasn't a glance. It was walk and stare.
Did a little shimmy.
He did.
Shoulder-like.
Absolutely. Threw the shimmy into it, too. So again, I was over in the Phillies clubhouse Saturday night. I walked up to him and I talked to him about, you know, did you expect to be in that role? Because Rob Thompson said that, honestly, a lot of their bullpen guys were down. So, you know, that was the only second game Hoffman had pitched for under Rob Thompson. So it kind of threw him in, not exactly knowing what he'd get. He got good stuff. But Hoffman said, and you heard the quote, "I don't like pitching at Coors Field." But yet, that night he did well. But
he said the quiet part out loud, didn't he?
It's very clear that the Hoff would not welcome a trade back to the Rockies, I don't think.
I mean, he's still tight with Freeland.
He is.
But, yeah, Rockies, no, he's not going to come back on the Matt Holliday reunion tour anytime soon.
And as you tweeted, I still am the tribute video. Where was
yes,
it?
Where was the tribute video?
Come on.
That was your line. That was good. Here's the question, though, and this kind of ties in with the Michael Toglia business and getting called up. Will Mike Moustakas join the list of players who have had 100 games with the Reds and 100 games with the Rockies?
Yeah, I know. I think the games played is going to go up this week for Moose.
Sure.
I'm thinking that. Is he going to reach 100 this year, though? Boy, that... I think if you had said whenever they first signed him, by the way, he's going to play 100 games for the Rockies this year, we all would have gone, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, a good guy come off the bench, good power hitter, a good fill-in guy. But for him to have 100 games, I think that would be a bad sign.
That would be a lot. And with the way that Ryan McMahon has been struggling too right now has been a bit curious. I don't think we'll see Montero coming up. Montero coming up and then, you know, Moustakas moving back to third base and, you know, Montero kind of doing a first base DH thing. You can't clog up the DH spot. I mean, we've even seen Charlie play a lot more.
Absolutely.
Outfield, I feel like, than last year.
I think that as well. You know, and I'm surprised we haven't seen Bryant as much at DH as I thought we were going to. I mean, he's either been right field or on the bench pretty much. So, yeah, it's interesting all the pieces that can be moved. But I still think, you know, and one thing I know you and I will watch, Moustakas versus Toglia this week, how do the games played go?
That will be. That will be one to watch. Now, you got a couple articles over on Call to the Pen, on FanSided.
Yeah.
Covering all the teams, doing an amazing job. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion right now. I feel like now's the time where you look at the standings a little bit and you go, who's on the hot seat right now? And I feel like, from how I see things, it's got to be Ollie Marmol
right now.
And I know, you know, Cardinals way and all that stuff, but he's having a difficult time, I feel like, managing the clubhouse and maybe calling out players too much. You can call them out behind closed doors, but in front of those doors, to the media, I don't know.
The whole Contreras thing, obviously, is such a big fiasco right now. You know, and it overshadows the Tyler O'Neill thing that happened earlier in the year.
Yeah.
You know, and you're exactly right. Marmol, whenever you talk to him, he's not one to hold back. And of course, then that gets into the press. The players read it. It does feel like it's kind of a negative churn there. So I would think Marmol, and I will tell you, I'm watching Bob Melvin. You know, it's really a surprise, but they have given him all the weapons, and I will tell you, none of them are clicking right now. I know they're hitting under 200 for the season with runners in scoring position. Yeah, so I mean,
they were having a good time yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
And that's
clip.
The problem.
Getting whooped by the Dodgers, they were having a good time.
And that's a big problem. And you know, I'm on a couple of the Padres message boards just to see what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them posted up. You remember the clip in Moneyball where Brad Pitt comes in and they're dancing on the table
yes.
after a loss?
It was Jeremy Giambi.
Yeah, exactly.
Character. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they were comparing those, and it's kind of like, you know, it's not far off, to be honest with you.
And the difference too is, you know, Giambi was a tradable chip. They say, hey, let's send a message to the clubhouse and shift some things around. We saw the White Sox do that, obviously, a couple weeks ago with old friend Alex Colomé. You know, was in that mix of about 11 guys.
Alexander.
Now, and you know, that put Chase Anderson on the Rockies.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
it's
Jake
domino.
Diekman got designated for assignment.
Yep.
Rays picked up Diekman, Chase Anderson. So all those things connected. But you can't trade Soto.
No.
Tatis Jr., Machado.
No, that's supposed to be your guys. Leadership right there. And they're laughing during a 4-0 game where you're getting ready to get swept. That's a problem. And so you wonder, does Melvin have the clubhouse? And I think that's a real question.
Yeah. I don't think that's a question for Aaron Boone, but anytime the Yankees are not in first place,
absolutely.
Anytime they're not on a pace to win 100 games, you go, hey, is Aaron Boone possibly on the hot seat? I don't know why they would want to get rid of him. I don't know.
I don't
Not
know.
Not right now.
Right. I don't know either, but I know whenever you are in fifth place and the Red Sox are ahead of you and they were supposed to be such a dumpster fire this year, there's a lot of heat in the Bronx too, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, you have an article about some of the candidates that could possibly, you know, jump into the mix in New York. And one of them was an interesting candidate. I don't know how the logistics would work, but he is no stranger to that clubhouse, and we're no stranger to him because we see him in this clubhouse in Hensley Mules.
Hey, absolutely. You know, Bam Bam's got the relationships there. And, you know, you and I were at winter meetings where he was talking about his relationship with Aaron Judge and how he helped him with the 62 homers last year and all that stuff. Absolutely. I think that if they were going to move, and don't forget, he was the guy that interviewed with Boone for that job back in the day, also interviewed for the Giants job. They gave that to Kapler. They gave the other one to Boone. So he's a guy that's been on the radar for a while.
And he's done it with, you know, Team Netherlands, obviously, in the World Baseball Classic. I feel like there's a couple candidates right now that I could look at on Bud Black's staff and say, we've got a future manager here. Hensley Mullins obviously has to be at the top of that list.
Yep.
Obviously, he's got those aspirations and he's got the pedigree. He's interviewed, so he's kind of on the cusp. Mike Redmond, he might get another shot. I'm not necessarily sure if he wants that, but he's got it on his resume already with the Marlins.
I would be curious if he wants it. That was the first thing I thought whenever you said that. Does he want it, or is this where he kind of is and he likes that bench coach role?
And I think the guy that is on the come up and you've got to keep an eye on, and I think the Rockies have been kind of, you know, finessing this guy and you know, grooming him to be a future manager, or at least a future, you know, part of the Rockies coaching staff, and he's there now, Warren Schaefer.
Yeah.
He's been a bright spot in the organization for as long as I can remember, you know, covering this team back in 2018.
Absolutely.
He was a guy that you say, hey, keep an eye on this cat, and I think he also has a future in managing at some point in the MLB.
Yeah, go back to his playing days. Go back to whenever I was watching him and covering him with the Tulsa Drillers back at AA, and all the comments about his brain for the game, his passion for it, gritty. I mean, all the things that you always hear about a guy that may not put up the eye-popping numbers, but he's that glue guy. That was what was being said about Schaefer even back then. And you see how he's kind of fast-tracked through the organization. Yeah, I agree with you completely.
And a hard worker, obviously. Like, he's one of the first guys out in the dugout, you know.
Watch that guy send some balls through the infield for practice, man. I tell you, he gets after it, too.
He does, yeah. Well, I mean, he still seems like he could be a player in so many ways. So, yeah, he's someone to keep an eye on as far as future manager in and around MLB. Maybe he's the next guy in line after Bud Black. Maybe there's some of that going on because you see Schaefer up there on that top step. And so, you know, it wouldn't be beyond me for there to be, you know, some kind of behind closed door agreement of like, you know what, Buddy's going to go ahead and groom the next guy for when he's done, or at least just groom another guy to kind of pass on the coaching tree, because that's a big piece of a legacy as a manager.
And the relationship that he already has with the players, I think that you don't discount that at all. And knowing how the Rockies like to keep things internal from time to time, we know, I think that that's a very logical move when that day comes, for sure.
Makes plenty of sense.
Yep.
Makes plenty of sense to make sure you're following this guy Twitter on fan side. Call of the Pen. Go ahead and plug away where folks can check out your stuff.
Yeah, at Call of the Pen, at KGH23 is me personally, and absolutely fansided.com/MLB. My weekly column went up this week, and it was about our boy Bryce Harper, I hate to tell you, and why I think he's got a legitimate shot to win MVP this year.
He's back in the conversation.
Yeah.
He absolutely is already back. Minus the stats, he's there, and it'll be interesting to see what goes on this next road trip or this next leg of it.
You know, it's that,
they can get that momentum.
That V letter in there, valuable. And he's already shown how much the Phillies need him back and everything that he brings with it. So,
well, we appreciate all y'all very much, as the kids say. Follow us on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I can be found on Twitter. And this has been momentous, Kev. I appreciate you
coming in,
doing some long relief. As you do.
Call me Peter Lambert, man. I'm happy to do it.
Lambo.
Happy to do it, man.
Appreciate you. Make sure you tune in tomorrow because, you know what they say, your next podcast or your podcast in general is only as good as your next one. Tomorrow, 1 p.m. right here. Maybe in Studio Z. We'll see, but we'll definitely be on the DVR Sports channel right here live on YouTube.